Welcome to the Rolled Standard. My name is Christopher, and today we're not playing a game. I was your GM as we played Kids on Bikes, but today we are...
We're touching tips.
No, we're talking about Kids on Bikes. We're reviewing it. And keep in mind, I'm aware that we didn't play a lot of it, so what we do know of it is relatively surface level, but it's a surface level review. And it's I feel like it's enough of a touch of the game in order for us to actually...
Yeah, we've done that before.
Yeah, for sure.
We've been harsher in the past, though. I think that... I think we'll be a little bit more lenient.
We'll see what happens.
Harsh?
But either way, happy holidays.
Merry thanks.
Happy
Christmas.
New Year.
It's a
whatever.
New Year.
It's a New Year, motherfucker.
Oh. It isn't yet.
It almost is.
Almost is. It's very soon. Either way, happy holidays. Left is law.
Hello. I am Levi.
And I'm Jake.
I'm Nate, and I played James McCready and Caitlin Conroy.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah, I played characters.
You did. Either way, let's just roll the music. Kids on bikes. Now, I know, first off, that we didn't play it to a T, and then that's to be expected.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And also, there wasn't a lot of kids.
I was just going to say, the premise of it was cut in half just on that basis alone.
There was at least one kid per episode.
There was at least one kid per episode. That is true. So at least it was always kid on bike.
There's more kids than we usually have.
Kid in tow truck.
Kid who has bike.
Yes.
He's not on it.
True.
It's snowing. Come on.
Yeah.
What are these people, cruel? Yeah,
there was a motorcycle in one scene.
Yeah, in the garage.
Yeah, see, we did good.
So how do you expect a game called Kids on Bikes to maintain the bikes in the winter?
I mean,
fat tires.
Fat tires, it happens. So people ride bikes in the winter.
We'd have to be really dedicated to that premise.
Yeah, and we weren't. So.
Just a 60-year-old man and John Cena
riding
on bikes in the cold.
I just think James McCready on a BMX bike just
wrong
as damage.
Yeah. I see him standing on the pegs
suit.
And everything.
Cursed mental image.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's funny, though.
No, it honestly, though, out of all the games on my shelf, right, that had the potential of talking about it, that game fit the story I was trying to tell the most. Mostly because of the time period.
Sure.
And I was like, yeah, this works. I'm like, you'll have to make James and John as adult characters, which is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
There is that. And I don't know. It was fine. It worked. It worked for the story we told. It's fine.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm always fine with a very simple system.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after Monster of the Week, I feel like it's the best way that we work is do everything more narratively and then... the mechanics of what we are doing is secondary.
Yeah, for the most part. I think a lot of times, well, as Merk Borg would have shown us, the complexity, with question mark, right?
Cause sure.
It's not really complex. Of the system and the way we played it really fed you guys cues in a way that, like, whose line is it anyways that Drew Carey would do? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we just
sure.
said these things, and you guys are like, okay, this is what we're doing. And that's what that was, like, roll this table. This is what came out of that. These are the things you get to work with. That's my preferred
actually,
way of playing.
You know
what,
now that you say it, yeah. When we're playing a system that is especially heavily based on randomized tables and things,
right.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Because it makes it more interesting, like, maybe even if it's just subconsciously, that, all right, here's this thing. What's happening now? Okay, fucking somebody's getting turned into a skeleton or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But I do like more abstract stuff like the stats in Kids on Bikes. I was really interested in that right away. Like, oh, here, allocate these things, and now
I thought it was silly.
John is a beast. There's no way he couldn't have done most of that stuff.
That is true. It was pretty limiting to. So maybe that character didn't port well with those low of
fuck no, it did not.
With that low of statistics.
He was restrained that whole time.
That's true. By his stats. And to that effect, considering that he had more of the history built into him, right? So
there's
more
no,
experience.
Sure. There's no level up system, is there?
Not really, no.
Yeah,
I don't
see,
believe
he
so. There might be, but...
And you know what? That does make sense. Like, I think the farthest that it goes, like, in my the way that I'd see it is you just get more bonuses to the stats that you get.
Well, that's...
And maybe
yeah.
some more of those traits. That's,
yeah. Oh, yeah, more traits, for sure.
I feel like the adults should have had that as a boon. Like, just a little more... Fucking!
I don't know. I feel like James probably just by default.
Oh no! Well, you're a 60-year-old man.
Yeah.
So
I mean, like me getting any bonuses is fucking fine with me. It just sucks because I had like D20 plus one for brains, and like the one time that I actually tried to use, like I tried to use it, and I rolled so fucking poorly that I'm like, okay, well, John has to fucking figure it out anyway. John and Huey, I'm just an old senile man that like hangs around with these guys. Is what I was doing.
More or less.
And it made it even more obvious that that was the case while people like Tom are like, why are you bringing this child into this building?
Yeah.
And then Oberon's like, don't bring him with you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, he pretty much implicitly
kind
of,
yeah, that's right. But doing? I'm like, well, I can't just, I'm sorry, Oberon, but I can't just tell fucking Chris to take Levi's character for the rest of the game. So, like, it's
that
like,
would be weird.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Bye, Huey.
But if it makes sense, then I would say just do it anyway.
There would have been
regardless of how hard it was.
There would have been cutscenes of like Huey in a Oberon's daycare. That's what it would have been.
Or like Huey
training
trying to
with
like...
his bow staff. Also, did you hear your bow staff go off?
No, he didn't.
I have not.
Oh man,
you're spoiling it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, no,
I sat.
You should have listened to it by the time we reviewed it. Come on now.
I haven't gotten that far today.
I sat for 15 minutes, fucking like hating myself. Because I made the joke. I was like, oh, this is what it should sound like. And I played the sound, and we died, and Jake harassed me. He's like, it has to be that, or I'm fucking, or I quit.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I'm
what
glad
the
you did.
Fuck?
I'm glad you had to give him, like, stick the spurs that hard.
Oh, man.
No, because honestly, that was pretty good. I mean, I heard that, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's
I
it.
Almost called
did you hear,
for
did
another
Did you hear
vote?
The fucking, just as a note, I even found audio of... people untangling Christmas lights ASMR so that I could put in the sound of Christmas lights hitting the floor when
yeah.
he just like, and then they onto the fucking floor.
I can't wait to listen to that.
It's so good. Yeah, no, that's, yeah, you're,
I haven't gotten to the part where you edited all of that stuff in the fight, though. That's what I'm excited to hear.
Yeah,
that thing
the fight's
go
pretty
off
good.
In the fight.
Oh, man. It's such anxiety. Like, I remembered sitting down here and just, like, making the decision. Because Chris says it once, like, you might even feel like your back was broken. And I was like, oh, we did talk about that once, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is when it happens then. I'm like, yeah, James isn't getting up.
Ooh,
yeah,
that really sucks.
I'm just like, I'm just making a decision. And good luck to you guys.
So definitively, is James paralyzed now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From the
paralyzed.
Waist down?
Yeah. So he's a wheelchair. He's wheelchair bound.
Yes.
Sorry, right. From the dick down. You got to keep him something. He had a rough time.
It does. Yeah. So follow-up question. Does it still work?
Stop. Stop.
It does because he just doesn't have legs. You know? It's fine. It's
yeah.
fine.
You know, in that retirement center, he's just macking on the
I don't
ladies.
Have. I don't. I'm not. I'm
yeah,
not.
He has a perfect perch.
What are you?
Anyways.
What are you selling my bar and my house and my car and like throwing me in a home now? Like,
how do you think,
I'm still
how do you
James
think
fucking
John
McCready.
The shack, okay?
The shack? I don't
oh,
know.
John
on his
did?
Fucking government monster hunting salary, probably? Fucking.
Likely. Yeah, likely. And the shack is very cheap. So easily.
I bought the land and built on it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. James, moving forward, James just kind of runs the bar. Him and Slim and his brother. Still the way that they were doing before, of course. But we'll
be it'd be interesting to think that John still uses James's bar.
He's kind of like what was it? Isn't there a point where Wesler, is that his name in Blade?
Whistler? Yeah. Wesler.
Fucking Chris Christopherson's character, like the
yeah Whistler. Like,
come on, Blade, the fucking. So I gotta get those suckheads. Let's, you know, whatever the fuck.
There's gotta be there. I'm almost positive there's a time where he's in a wheelchair.
He is in a wheelchair at some point.
And I was just like, That's a little bit of how I felt, because his garage is pretty much like the vampire hunting place.
And damn, let's do an alternate universe where John is Blade.
Or no, just another adventure where in his actual timeline, he is like the day walking vampire hunter.
Oh! Or we could just retire John forever.
Why? He's still got old man John story to do.
Yep, there's still some more John.
Yeah, there's some John to tell eventually down the line.
Yep, there's more John. There's more James. We'll see James again. We have
we'll
to.
See Huey's.
I've already got it planned.
Oh, God. I'm
interested.
I got
that part planned.
Yep. I like that.
We'll see how Huey's paperclip or paper cut healed.
Oh, you fucking. That shit,
probably
dude,
poorly.
I swear to God, that was the funniest shit ever, though. Because it was just like,
how's it going over there, kid?
This moment.
Oh, I got this paper cut.
this moment where it's like up against the wall, like coming to terms with the fact that I'm probably paralyzed. And John's like, fuck, man, we're having this very real moment.
Yeah,
Huey shows up and it's like, okay, I got to put on a good face for the kid. Like, hey, how you doing, kid? And he's like, I think I'm all right. I got a bunch of blood on me. Got a paper cut earlier.
Dude, like, just yeah, like I'm his not... old man. Yeah. I remember Huey Sr. doing that in one of the
fucking
fights.
You just play
fights.
The character again.
I know, right? Just a younger version.
No, that works perfectly, too.
Man. But yeah, he's...
So, you still didn't find the kids?
No, that was an interesting...
Yeah, that leaves a nice open-hanging thing,
well,
which I have a plan for.
Nate mentioned that we could definitely just pick up right from there.
Next year? That's my plan. Sort of my plan.
Okay.
Yep. Because picking up right there, the time has passed. You know, you can call that a fail.
Well, yeah. But like...
A prologue scene leading into the next Christmas.
Well, I was just going to say, actually, what I'm saying is, like, I feel like the time skip is not going to be as substantial at this point. And that's more what I was thinking.
Likely next, I would say, like, next Christmas.
Yeah, that's
trying to find a way to save those kids, because that's still something that they can do.
Yeah,
they don't
right.
know what's happened to them. So.
Man.
Next year, they do it again.
Plus, like,
Deep Pick Boy's been dropping the fucking ball lately.
It happens.
Yep.
It's a hard job.
Yeah.
You're not always going to succeed.
And we're just guys, you know? We're the main characters of this story, but we're just guys in Arizona, is pretty much what we are.
Speak for yourself. I'm a sperm cocktail.
Oh, God.
He is.
That's very unfortunate.
Multiple guys.
Yeah.
He's five guys.
I have multiple dads.
He does. Next year, I think Delta Green. I think it's what we should have done this year.
Oh, and
I remember talking about it.
John Rambo?
Kind of. Well, what turned me off from it was that it is exactly pretty much Call of Cthulhu 7th edition modernized. Just with a new setting.
Okay.
That's pretty much all it is.
Okay.
So I was like, we do that too much. You know, we play Call of Cthulhu a lot. We play it twice. that's the maximum we've ever played anything.
That's true.
So I'll
play John's twin brother, Don Lambo.
No.
But you just played John.
Yeah, like John isn't like.
Why does he have a twin brother? Same dads.
Yeah.
Wasn't Stone Cold his brother?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're both the same project.
Like, yes.
So they're not necessarily.
They're as much brothers as like Spartans are brothers.
Yeah, they consider themselves brothers.
Stone Cold was actually born from a woman where I came out of a test tube.
Yeah, that's probably true, considering he was an earlier version of you, because he was already like a teenager.
Oh, man. I remember that line, and I can't remember.
Or maybe a kid, at least.
Where it was from exactly, but. When you were talking, John was talking to someone, it was like, oh, it was something in Voss, and I'm almost positive, but you're like, I'm not born of a woman, sir.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember him saying that line. I was like, fucking, this is such a ridiculous.
It's true.
Oh, man. I admire how easily you can just black out and stop making any decision. Like, sitting down and playing John when you become simple John.
It's
like,
not hard.
All right, I'm just going to black out and I'm just going to say words and it just fucking works. Like a perfect example is him walking through the building. Like the pager thing goes on overhead and he's just like, before it happens, like, hey, Mary, how's it going? Yeah. Steve, good to see you. I put snaps in there just because it instantly implies that he's finger guns everywhere.
He is.
And that was the,
he was.
And that's what he was like doing here. He was like.
Yeah, that's probably why he did it.
I'm like. This fucking guy. And then, like, the pager goes off overhead. He's like, okay, I run. And I just see him sprinting, like, full force fucking million-dollar man. It's just, he's such
he's
a fucking wild character, man.
He has a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
Answer that phone. He has a phone call. He's That's his new job, his new task.
My favorite John moments are interacting with just random people behind a desk.
Yeah, no.
So fucking often.
Dude, yeah, that was one of my favorite things, too. It was just like
the phone jazz, calls being, and desks.
The jazz club, the bartender, yeah, like yeah. Everything.
Yeah, yeah, it's hilarious to watch you be a human being when, like, you know, Roger Rabbit walks through the door, you know? Like, you for have real. To exist in the same world as this cartoon man.
Like, this guy is slightly off.
Yeah.
Like, it's clear that he's off. But he's also very imposing.
Yeah, so, it's like yeah. you can't say anything or he'll snap your spine. But he is a very strange, just odd,
big old meat grabbers too.
Child boy man.
Who's this Patrick Warburton character?
Oh fuck!
Oh yeah, the game.
Yeah, kids on bikes.
Hey man, we tell stories too.
Yeah, no, yeah, we talk. Yeah, sometimes. That's true. We like these reviews is also a recap of the story told with
absolutely
the game, more often than not.
But I mean, it's a pretty simple system, so it's like it's not like there's a whole ton to.
I, as a GM,
this is good for just telling a short story
for sure. Yeah, there were episodes where we didn't even roll anything.
Yeah,
it gives me big Apocalypse Key vibes.
Yeah, I mean,
there's no HP,
it's part of the new school.
Yeah,
I think it's the NSR. I don't know if this qualifies as NSR or not.
NSFW?
Not that.
No, not with kids in the title.
Come on now.
Oh, shit.
Come on now. Family game.
I thought no. It goats.
Preteens.
Just goats.
Just goats. No, it's not my favorite. It's not a game I feel like I would want to play again.
No.
Personally, I was just, I just didn't like, as a GM, I found it hard to assign roles. I found it hard to, like, pace. And that, for what after, to be honest, parts like 3 and 4 are both just completely ad-libbed. For the most part. I mean, they were like I had a mental idea of how certain things were, mm-hmm. and then I made them that way. And then, we altered them as they played out.
Right.
And a lot of that didn't turn out that great. But I found it hard to write for some reason.
Someone at work asked me about it, and I said, it's great for playing on the holidays with your friends.
Yeah, it's good if you're not going to be serious about the game itself. You know what I mean? Like if the story, sure. Be serious. It allows you to be very serious.
Right.
But as far as, like, mechanics, and I prefer... I remember saying recently that I always enjoyed crunchy ass games,
mm-hmm.
but then I think that that's changed. I did find, I think, the line. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Where it was like, I don't like it when it's like this.
Yeah.
I prefer, to be fair, I said this a little bit earlier. I prefer that OSR table driven style.
Yeah.
You know, I like when as a GM specifically, I love when you guys go into a scenario, a building perhaps, what doesn't matter what it is, mm-hmm. and I have to reference tables to determine what's going to happen in there.
Yeah.
So I have you guys roll like a D6, and that's what is the contents of that room. I love doing that.
Yeah.
And I love that style of play, and it keeps me guessing, you know? First of all, I know like the ways that this could go. I like what's actually going to happen. That's a game to me in a way.
Sure.
Because it's not running a game that's like scripted isn't much of a game. As much as playing that game is.
Right.
And then even something like this, being super super narrative driven, we have a similar role in that where we're kind of all creating these story elements.
Mm-hmm.
But something about the way that like that OSR table-driven style plays to me as a GM, like I get to play the game too.
Yeah.
I get to be surprised when you guys roll these things.
Right.
That's fun.
Yeah, I like that.
And I don't get that from other styles.
No, that makes sense too because like there is a really appealing aspect of that to me in the way that it's like, all right, this next thing is going to happen. Roll me this and roll me this and roll me this. And these are the props that we're going to be playing with in this room for right now. Whether it be like, oh, this is what you're looting. This is the enemies that are there. This is the weird scenario that's happening. Like it's
which will make you roll this other table.
Yeah, yeah. Like
that's awesome.
I feel like when it comes to games like closer to this, I'm always going to default back to something like Monster of the Week.
Yep, Monster of the Week, I feel like if we were going to play, like, let's dig into our catalog of games we've already played, mm-hmm. and we're going to play a narrative-driven story. We're going to
Merkbor!
Right, well, ultimately, if there was, like, what game are we going to play that we've already played? Let's play Merkbor.
Yeah.
But if it's, like, let's play a game with the stipulation that's going to be a deep hit game, you know, what would we play? I'd play, let's put Monster of the Week again.
Yeah.
Let's do that, because that would be good for the deep. That's good for the deep hit. That's where they started.
I wouldn't mind playing Fate Core again, though.
I wouldn't mind going back to it and telling a completely different story.
Now we have a general idea of how games... Well, me.
That was your first game. Yeah.
Mm.
Kids on Bike is kind of nice in a way, though, because it's nice to have that open worldness and not have to really know the game mechanics like D&D. Like, there's,
if you're,
there's,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're gonna just pick
so
something
broad,
up for the bystanders,
yeah, you know, yeah. It's a nice easy game you can play with your buddies.
Yeah,
on the
it's something where you want to be.
Yeah, yeah, something they have in the hospital waiting room while you're waiting
yeah,
for the
exactly.
doctor.
Yeah, if you to be fair, I think what we're describing is generic. But it's not. You know,
I'm not trying to use harsh words.
No, no, and I realize that. But it's not necessarily, but it feels loose
there's
and
nothing,
generic enough for that to be the case.
She's loosey-goosey.
And there's a certain type of game that this is, you know, and I kind of like it in a way. You
yeah.
know, it's.
I like the setting. I think if we were to hit, okay, if we were to be like, hey, what's a game similar to Kids on Bikes that's better that we can do to tell a story like you could with that?
Yeah.
I would say Tales from the Loop. But maybe we should have done that.
Yeah,
maybe we should have, because that's a free league game, so we're already very familiar with the dice pool style.
Sure,
very Vossen.
Right, right.
I think it's similar anyway. I'm not the most fair, but I know that it's got a lot of similarities with that style. So, or Year Zero engine. That's what I'm describing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like a game where you don't have to roll dice and you can just talk your way through everything, it's kind of nice too.
Yeah, that's a phone call with grandma.
Yeah,
that's true. And like, no, I agree. And at the same time, everything we're saying is also prefaced by we've played 4 episodes of it. And
true. Like
we were doing it from the beginning with a different intention than literally the name of the game.
Very
you
true.
Know? So, like, if you wanted to play some kind of weird, like, pseudo science fiction horror kids figuring out a mystery type of shit, I'm sure that it's going to be a different experience entirely.
You're telling Stranger Things. Or It.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Stand By Me, even.
Yeah.
Or any of those, like, young X-Men runaways or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Great game for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to tell a story about, like, you know, secret agents dealing with some paranormal
secret
stuff.
Agent man.
John!
It's not the best game for it, but it will work. Ultimately, like, it's fine. If you want that loose narrative system, this is great for that.
Yeah, like, I'd prefer doing this. Like, I had... Mechanically speaking, a better time playing this than we did Apocalypse Keys.
Same.
Yeah.
I
like,
agree.
Because I liked a lot of the things that were involved in Apocalypse Keys and stuff.
Me too.
And I liked the character sheets and the abilities. Like, I liked how they were vague enough for us to just, like, come up with ideas of what those meant. But when it came down to its simplicity and openness didn't lend itself to that same thing, because it's like those characters could have easily been in Monster of the Week somehow if you wanted to do that too.
Sure.
And then you would have had a little bit more concrete setting for what was going on here. And like, this is something that you don't, like, I didn't expect the same out of it right away, you know? Cause I know I'm looking at everything here and it's like, hey, you get to pick a couple of these things and you guys determine whether or not loyalty is something that's helping you right now or whatever else, you know, it's very simple for you to jump into and just do.
To that same point, then this would have been a lot better if it had moves like a lot of the, what is it? Powered by the Apocalypse engine.
A lot
of those playbooks, they have moves involved. The game itself has moves that you do.
Yep.
That would have worked a hell of a lot better than this.
Yeah.
This was too open as far as the gameplay itself. You know, it's intended to be that way, though, so it's not a fault.
No. It's just an easy mode game.
Can be.
I think.
Yeah. I mean,
soft boy.
Yeah. I mean, your characters
the softest.
Can die, but like damage is. If you choose to kill them, you'd probably be one of the situations where the character died is because you guys chose to.
Yeah. If you wanted us to die right away, you would have just.
Yeah, the deficit, like the deficit in whatever was rolled in the situation very specifically is dire enough and it feels thematic. That makes sense to me. Yeah, for sure. But like, I don't have a ton other to. Like, honestly, I feel like no matter what game we're playing, when it comes to the story that we tell, we're going to find a way to tell it. And I think episode 3 was a perfect example of that, where I don't think we rolled at all.
No, we didn't.
And the entirety of what we were doing was just storytelling and, you know, exposition and character building. And maybe it's just because it's us. Maybe other – like, I don't know how people play at home most of the time, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, maybe that's a thing that like, a lot of people try and do, but I'll tell you right now, in the world where we're trying to move forward and tell a story, it didn't feel unnatural to just sit down and do that.
Yeah.
Just like any other game that we've played. It's like there was nothing that really... Like, on the opposite side, if we were playing something like heavier, like crunchier, like Paizo game or Wizards of the Coast or whatever else, I feel like even in the conversations we were having with Oberon or something like that, eventually the game itself kind of would lean towards like, hey, maybe roll a thing.
Yeah.
You know, John talking with Christian is a perfect example. He's not a very, not necessarily happy to see John, yeah. You know, having to try and convince him to move forward, and that would probably have had roles involved,
yeah, for
and
sure.
Shit like that.
And that would have been great. That would have been, those are nice deciders.
You yeah. Know, and it's, a, it's like a
without
little.
Without those, though, there's no direction.
Yeah, a little speck of suspense, you know, like, mm-hmm. Hey, man, I might not make this here, and then what the fuck do we do? What do I say?
In that same scenario, then, I think I would rather have preferred that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. I could totally imagine that, for sure.
Also, though, we don't do a lot of dialogue with rolling in any game.
No, not really.
I mean, I don't think I've ever made you guys do persuasion or that, not very often anyway.
No.
I can't remember any instances.
I ask a lot to do stuff like that.
It depends on the NPC.
Yeah.
With Yuffie,
if it's an important NPC, we generally don't roll.
Realistically, I think.
Yeah, we see how the conversation goes, and I judge it based. I judge the reactions to what you guys do based on what you guys do.
Right.
Like how you say things. Does it make sense, I guess, for him to agree with it or not? You know?
I think the only time that I've really had to do it on the show, like, or we've had to do it on the show, is when I was doing Starfinder, and that's just because it is Starfinder and all of the, like, it was a module or an adventure path or whatever, yep. And
yeah, scripted,
you know, yeah, scripted to do it, and that's the only other reason.
With you being the most familiar with the actual book and going over it, mm-hmm. Is there any big mechanic that we missed out on?
None that I can think of. I was actually thinking that same question.
Bikes.
Earlier. Right. There's no mechanics to the bikes. I will say that. There's not even a mention of a bike, to be honest. Well, there might be, but there's no, like, you know.
It's like you start out with raging hormones and a couple of friends and a bike.
And a salty attitude.
We did the stat checks, you know, how it's done.
Yeah.
We use the guideline table. We use the narrative result table to combat. Nobody died. Although you technically came close in a situation where, like, other games, we probably would have died there.
Yeah.
Is there any death mechanics or anything like
that? Not particularly. There is a little bit about it. Pretty much just says during the game, or during the course of the game, one or more of the characters will likely be injured. There are no hit points, but none of you are immortal. Compared to the forces you'll probably come into contact with, you're exceptionally fragile. A well-aimed bullet from a government agent, the quick flick of a monster's jaws, or a telekinetic character could end things in a moment.
Okay.
The only thing that really changed during all of that is you kept track of, like, how fucked up we were getting. I noticed this during the editing, and then you made the rolls harder because of the damage we were taking.
Yeah, I was
That's a good fucking move.
I was using what happened to you guys as, like, modifiers to the rolls.
Mm-hmm. So
that's pretty much right. Yeah.
This game gives you, like, the bare bones, and then you just kind of decide what you want to do with whatever.
I like that. That's a good move just by the nature.
There was no way John was ever going to die because we see him in the future again.
That's a really good point then, Jake. Like, the game does just give you that. Here is, like, the rolling table, and here's how the game works.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all it gives you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, I mean, one thing we did miss, actually, is when you first – you have, like, a session zero with this game that you create the details of your town and your relationships with each other – and all that stuff. We didn't do any of that.
We already had a town.
That's why.
Yeah.
We had a town. We already had relationships with
each other. And we added stuff to it, like Walzak's towing.
Right. Then that's true.
Get your shirt online.
That is true, though. And so that we didn't skip. We just did it in another game.
Yeah, yeah.
We've done it before.
We didn't in Fate that, like, also made it very, like, ingrained in those characters, too, really. It was like, okay, we're making these characters. You have to have a connection to each of your other characters somehow and all that shit. Then, of course, a fucking over the course of 2 years coming back and forth to the characters somehow. Like, you just build all that anyway. But yeah, no, now that you bring that up, I'm glad that you said it, because really that's the – you making those decisions was the catalyst for me deciding what was happening to James in the first place. I was just like, yeah, I'm playing this dude like it makes sense. Like, he was probably walking around with two broken ribs just after fighting the goat man outside of fucking – Caitlin's house.
Could have been.
You know?
And then John became serious because he took a bump, like, off of what you said, I took a bump to the head. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, this is my time to fucking tune it back.
Yep.
I did appreciate you narrating me cutting off Yulbakken's hand, though, because I was like, okay, that's a pretty cool ass thing for James to have done before getting absolutely fucking manhandled.
Yeah.
So that was very cool.
It was the part that I there's a nice dirty secret about the monster that I was gonna hold close, you know, for the neck for a while.
I think
I was gonna tell you anyway because it's kind of like a bomb drop. In a way, that wasn't even Yulbakken.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We
figured.
That
we
was all, just. Oh, you didn't know that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Good.
The reason
it wasn't even. It was just like a hunter.
So
I didn't even.
Any of us could have killed it then?
No, it still has the same kind of properties. This is not, it's not him, it's just another type of thing.
This is actually why I thought that I figured it wasn't him, in the way that when Christian was talking about the goat with the virus thing,
mm-hmm.
you had mentioned him. It's like, that's how he got to us in the first place, is that he could transport his consciousness or whatever. You didn't say it the same way, but like he could like transport through that infection or whatever and manifest.
Oh, that was literal. Like he literally rolling out a carpet of goats.
Oh, literal.
Yeah, it's like, it's like putting out soldiers, you know, and then you can just kind of safely move between them.
Sure, sure.
Because they're keeping an area. That's really what I meant.
It's interesting. It's interesting that I imagined it that way, but and it completely.
Maybe that makes more sense.
I mean, I don't know. That's how I imagined it. And then when the goat turned into that, I was like, oh, it's like an avatar of Yulebakken. He's not here, but
it was a pretty good fight.
Even though we got our asses handed to it, I picture that, like, what's that fucking movie where he's like, it's a side view of the hallway and he's fighting through the hallway, just getting fucked up along the way.
Gosh.
It's an older kung fu movie. Not too old, but.
Is it Ong Bak?
I don't know.
Like the whole stair fight and everything?
I can't remember. I just remember that one scene.
With the dude from
Kung Fury? Faculty?
It might be Kung Fury. I don't know.
That's a good movie. Honestly, say what you want about it. It was fucking good.
But it's like a scrolling camera shot of him fighting through the hallway.
That might be Ong Bak, too.
It's a bunch of axemen and shit. And that's what it reminded me of. Because I kept picturing that sword got thrown around between all of the characters.
That shit was
so
what got
times.
Me.
That was cool.
I love that shit so
picturing
much.
Picturing John on the ground, like looking up at this and just seeing Huey hanging there, grabbing his ankle and trying to pull him down. Oh, man, that whole scene is just, it was beautiful.
Yeah, that was actually
just
pretty
tossing
cool.
This weapon. This is the thing
the
that matters.
Sword. The silver sword we always talk about, mm-hmm. and it finally gets used.
Yeah.
I love how, like, that's the kind of shit that I love, like, ad-libbing just, it's, the silver sword is almost on par with Arthur's lantern for just ad-libbed shit that becomes part of, like, the mythos of what we do. And I think that is so cool. Like, because it was just a thing that I chose.
That's how magic items are created, buddy.
Dude, fucking right, though. No, it is true. Because it's just an item that I chose in Monster of the Week, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like, I got a cool dagger, and I made that into something later, too. But then a dagger, a silver sword, and my pistol, and that's all I need. And I'm like, fuck, it makes sense for me to have a silvered sword because Steven's a werewolf, and that's all I think about, you know?
Yeah.
And then later on down the line, he's like, oh, I picked up the sword from fucking Rudolph. Brought it back and gave it to James, and then it's like 2 years later, I'm walking in a ferry with this fucking god killer sword, and I don't even know it, you know?
Yeah, that sword's a main character.
It's fucking wild. Yeah.
It really is. He made it in multiple games.
That's fucking, it's just very, very cool.
Well, I've said everything I need to say about Kids on Bikes. What about you guys?
Agreed.
For the most part, like, yeah, I don't dislike the game, mm-hmm. really. It's kind of just whatever.
It helped continue telling a really good story.
As a one-shot, it was good.
Okay. So, should we give it the judgment?
Yeah.
All right. Why don't you kick it off, Levi?
So, does it meet my rolled standard?
Does it meet? Yeah, yeah. Does it meet the rolled standard? Do you think it meets the rolled standard?
Not the way I like to play.
So, what is that?
Nah.
It's either yes or no.
No.
It's no. Okay.
No.
Jake.
Nay. It does not meet the rolled standard.
I agree.
Wow. Yeah, so do I. No. Mm-hmm. So, definitively and ultimately, across the board here anyway, Kids on Bikes does not meet the rolled standard.
No, it's like eating airplane food while you're on the airplane. You get 5 pretzels in a fucking bag and you got to make up the rest.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Sure.
No, and with that, let's take a break.
Oh my God. Cool.
And welcome back to the rolled standard. Now, we talked about Kids on Bikes as much as we
thought we needed
to.
Now let's talk about me!
Yeah, let's talk about Jake and Nate and Levi and Chris and what we did this year. No, the rest of this episode, I guess, we'll talk about the year in review and what we have planned for next year.
Yeah.
So what did we do this year?
I started a new job. I put on some tight jeans lately.
Snore!
How's that going?
Oh, man, they left some wicked bruises right here.
You're
but
way
I
too
broke
tight
them
to
in.
Bruising you.
Huh? It's because of my job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I put on a little weight, too.
Let's talk about role-playing.
Good. Yeah.
Oh, the games. Oh, right.
Right, yeah, we played games.
We played a lot of Merkborg.
We played a ton.
Did we really?
We played all the way up till, what, September?
It was a long time.
Then we had a small break where we played Pirate Borg and Mothership.
Starfinder?
That was, I don't know. That was like 2 years ago.
No. Yeah, well,
people don't forget.
What's the other one?
Mothership.
That's it.
I just said it. Yeah. Yeah. We played Frontier Scum.
Yep.
That was played fun. The Evil Deceased.
Mm-hmm.
We played
Merkborg.
We did play Merkborg. Okay. That's true. Mutant Call Classics. We started.
Yep.
Which was more to come.
I actually have to look at a list now.
That's it. I think that's it. I'm pretty damn sure that's all the games we played.
Man, I was talking in Arthur's voice for so fucking long.
Right? I've been listening to it again recently, and like, so it's fresh in my mind. Yep, that's everything.
Sorry.
Oh yeah, and Kids on Bikes.
Oh yeah, and Kids
that
on
was
bikes.
The one we're missing.
Oh, Boston.
That we did that last year.
Oh, it was last year. That's yep. What we ended last year. Yep, you're right.
Because we started Merkborg at part zero on the 31st of December last year.
Man,
I mean, it's been... what I like kind of first started with.
You first started editing with that. You first started. Yeah, this is becoming way longer than your memory does.
I know.
So no, Jake, you showed up with Depths of Drastid and Fate Core.
No. I meant editing.
Oh,
I did mean editing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good then. Yeah.
I remember the other stuff I did.
Oh,
too.
Good. Okay. I was hoping.
I was like, oh my God. So we have to bring him in.
I was really, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to tell him first, though. But then we'll bring him in. But yeah, okay. Yeah. You started editing with Boston. That's true.
Listen to it. It's God, Jesus.
It's very good.
Oh, it's good, but I'm so.
The story's ridiculous.
The
episodes are good.
Remember all of it being really quick cut editing because I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, that's when I started doing all the like.
That's when you took the sound effects.
The full like, edits. Yeah,
yeah, completely.
After Cold and Deathless, of course, or not Cold and Deathless. Open Graves.
Yeah,
that was
yep.
the first one, really.
Well, I mean, technically, you've been putting sound effects and all that stuff since Depths of Drastid, and actually Call of Cthulhu, our first episode.
Yeah, I had a bunch of little things in there, but man, being able to put that like ambiance in the world or like, you know, just move a chair when somebody's going to go sit down or like snap a finger when you're pointing
at
someone.
Speaking of fingers, that's what Levi did this year.
Oh yeah, Levi cut his
finger.
We're
not going to talk about
snowblower.
That. We're
going to
cut that out.
Oh my God.
They cut that out.
I mean, we've talked a lot about Merkborg already. Like, we talk about it everywhere. So
we haven't talked enough about it.
Yeah.
We need more talking about it. We need more playing it.
Mothership.
Mothership's awesome.
That's a fun game.
That game is stressful.
Yeah.
I realize that when you GM your friends a game of Mothership, you don't talk to them for like a week after that. They're going to be salty with you for a bit.
That's just because that last episode went so south real quick.
I was like, I'm fucking ready, baby.
It went crazy. And it's going to get crazier as it comes out, too. Which, I guess, over the course of next year, we'll just pepper them in there when we feel like, hey, it's been Mothership.
Yeah.
You know, they were good as transitions.
Hey, man, it's for us to break up what we do as well.
Yeah.
It's just
as much as we did love Merkborg, it turned into quite the slog at some point where we're
35 was a lot. 36 technically.
Yeah.
A little breakup was nice.
For you it had to feel like that somewhere right in the middle because you were dead for 3 episodes in a row or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And then you,
not in a row.
I was pretty damn close, man.
I mean, there was like an episode between two of them I think where he was alive.
Yeah.
But I think he died.
Well, I mean it's like think about it cuz he dies in the bear.
Yeah.
We drag him around for a full episode. We bring him back to life. He exists for a different bear fight and then a Wendigo fight and then falls down a hole and dies. And then he's not there for the full rest of the next episode. And then we bring him back to life and then we get attacked by a dude and he gets killed by that dude.
You died a lot.
Yeah. I remember blowing up as Curl.
Oh,
like,
man. It made me
laugh. Every time I'm with you, now Curl died. He never died before I meet you.
Exactly.
I'm in charge now. Let's go. And he crawls out the window.
Arthur even died twice.
Yeah.
He permanently died for a hot minute.
Yeah. No, and that's, I guess, people say, like, or if someone were to say, like, we didn't, like, have enough death in our, because the deathlessness thing. No, we did.
Yeah.
It was just the same
we
guy.
We died
over
all
again.
The time.
All the time. The first episode that we were, like, out in the world outside of Open Graves, fucking, the first fight, Jake gets murdered.
Oh, yeah. He died.
Dennis died.
By a deer.
Yeah, Dennis, fuck, oh my God.
Soup died. Yeah. No soup left.
Dennis
soup
got, went home. Dennis lost his arm. Ooh, how fucking just realized with the losing of the.
You know. Oh, it's prophecy.
Yeah, let's cut that out again.
No. So Dennis lost his arm and Leela loses the same finger.
That's... I didn't lose a finger. Okay.
And then you lost the knuckle of it.
And then you
no,
got...
I know I still have all my knuckles.
That's true. You lost just the tip of your middle just finger on your right hand to a snowboard.
It's fine. It's fine.
And you also got eaten by those dogs.
Just wait.
You'll grow back.
I'll take my bandage off and I'll stroke it.
Oh, my God.
No.
Anyways.
Yes, no. Right. Yeah, no, doing Mothership was a totally different, like, doing all the editing that I've been doing, like, for the sound effects and stuff, like, I've obviously, like, okay, it's wintry, it's cold, you know, everybody's got swords and bows and all sorts of shit like that or whatever. So moving into a game that was just, like, the ambiance is now beeps and boops and, and fucking, like,
I liked it.
The shudder of doors and the weird sounds of, yeah, like, talking cool. in... helmets and all that kind of shit, man. Like, oh God, well, I was like, this is a totally different experience than what I'm used to. Same with Pirate Borg, like even, like it's not too far out of that realm, but there's guns, it's on the sea, there's a bunch of like that kind of shit going on.
You've explored your sound, you know, you've expanded your sound database.
Yeah, my fantasy horizons have been
the audio library.
Yeah, it's just one of those things for me this year, especially. It's like. I did five episodes, maybe six episodes of something that I did that level of extensive sound effects stuff before this year. And then all of this year was that shit. So, like, the shit that I've learned to do and the weird moments, the weird things that I'm proud of that I don't even, like, bring up most of the time, you know? Just even, like, the sound of opening up the fucking refrigerator door in Tethic's place or whatever, you know? It doesn't need to be there. It doesn't matter. Or, like... fucking Arthur getting pissed and pounding the table like
God,
they're
I
so
love
good
those.
Though.
Yeah,
yeah. Why would just, you? Why would you not want those?
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
It emphasizes the moment. Get out of my head.
There's even a moment. I don't remember what episode it is, but it's early on. There's a moment where like a skeleton was like showing
shrugs.
Us to our room.
Yeah.
And
it's,
he shrugs.
It's part
and they're
zero.
Just like
it's part zero. He fucking shrugs. And
it just, I'm just like. Nobody needed it, and I put it in. I'm so fucking happy for
it.
I need it.
Helps me sleep at night.
The show needs it.
Or like, there's one where I'm like trying to get Curl's attention as Mel, and I was like, "Hey!" And then I just put a slap sound in right there. I was like, "Hey, pay attention!"
It changed the whole scene.
Yeah,
no, for real, you know that he hit him.
Yeah,
that's the best.
Or like when Levi fucking has my arms, and he just like, just hitting me over and over again.
Oh my God.
I was happy. Like I knew right away because like as soon as he said it, I have to make a like, ah, fuck! Will you stop? God damn it! I was like, I'm not gonna put. I gotta put the sound in only just before I make that noise.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just one of those things that, like, I don't know what's coming yet. I remember half of what it is, but then somebody will be like, I'm just kicking beer cans around in the back of the truck. And then I'm like, well, fuck, I got to find some beer can sounds now. And he's like, okay, I'm just going to take this, my bat, start hitting beer cans out of the. I'm like, oh, that very specific action. I'll find the fucking audio for that.
I was trying to narrate it in case you couldn't find the audio. But that, I love
it's
your
the
dedication.
Only reason I have to find it.
Yeah, that's true. You're doing it for it. Like, it's a dub. Man, that's double edged.
I know.
I can't remember the one that, like, oh, fucking A, man. Levi coming up with the all the shit for his staff with in Kids on Bikes with Huey and stuff. I was like, I need to find the sound. I already said it, but I need to find some sounds for fucking the Christmas lights.
This is a big reason why I don't do the sound effects.
I
right
can't
now.
Wait to hear it.
It's oh, really fuck. Good. Yeah, you'll like it, Levi.
So much, just the really simple shit. There was a transition, but like after we left Walzak's place, which is another fucking thing. Oh my God, fucking Doug Walzak fucking murdered me.
Yeah, what
I have never been so lost trying to do this show than when I have to play opposite of that guy.
I've never had to really give you like
direction.
Yeah, until
yeah,
last moment.
That was pretty wild.
Well, you see the bewilderment on my face?
Yeah, it's like, let me help you out here, buddy. Come on. Now, how do you do this?
Don't worry. Doug Walzak will be back.
Oh, unfortunate.
Oh, God.
Very
he
unfortunate.
Should be.
But
there's a series called Doug.
Just before man, that's fucking hilarious, actually. Just before we left his place where I was talking about, like, I'm actually kind of feel bad for taking this truck from this man. And he's like, don't worry about it. He won't even remember. Nope. I won't. Throws the keys and fucking slams it and slams the door. So I was like, oh, I put the sound of him throwing keys in there and slamming the door and whatever. And it sounded
like
perfect.
It's a screwdriver.
And then he's like, don't even worry, sir. That was a screwdriver. The keys are in the truck. I was like, well, getting rid of the sound of the keys and fucking moving on with my shit.
You did the same thing with everyone walking back from the tree. But then Huey shows up all decked out. And you're like, you guys turn around and Huey's there. And he's like, well, just
standing in the door.
Erased all
it
that.
It makes me laugh so hard sometimes. Because it's like, because it was funny. Like, yeah, we come out of the tree after we leave Oberon's in episode 4, like the beginning of the finale. Of
and John
Kids on Bike.
Takes off running.
And he's just like, John takes off running. And it's literally just like,
yeah,
and just like him running into the distance. And for a while there, I just like the start of the conversation with James and Tom, I just put a bunch of, I found a like just two sets of feet walking down a hall.
He's just bragging about his shoes.
Like,
he's like,
oh,
this
God,
is
this
beautiful.
Sounds so
you gotta
fucking
listen
good.
To this. You gotta just listen.
And
then,
and
like
I play
a
it,
minute
and it,
later.
It, yeah, I play it and then I get like a minute into it or whatever. And then right there, fucking through the door, Huey shows up with all the characters or whatever. Like, well, they didn't just walk in place for the last minute and a half, so
yeah,
fucking get rid of all of that.
They
I just
didn't leave the room.
Yeah, it just makes me fucking laugh because I like, yeah, like I said, I generally know what happens, but I'm not going to know until that moment what it is that I'm going to find to put in there. And
yeah, or like when exactly.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, that's fun.
I was thinking about that scene, even though I haven't listened to it yet. Where Huey comes out of the tree. I should have totally made him like Neo in my head.
Chris did.
Yeah.
Chris did.
Oh,
you're
really?
Decked out in black just like Chris.
Oh, good,
everything.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with the, I should have said with like the sunglasses and then my jacket is forever thwipping in that.
I think it would just come off more as
so
like,
fucking funny.
I had already seen him with Pit Vipers on. So
I already see him. I already see him as fucking, what is it, JP or JD? JP from fucking Grandma's Boy.
I guess I picture more Dib from Invader Zim.
He walks into the room like JP walks into the room like the very first time. But the very first time you see him in Grandma's Boy where it's all in slow motion and he's like,
yeah.
And he's just like, the leather cape is moving and shit.
Good stuff.
Oh, man.
I finally found my
editing
style.
He was a fucking loser.
I'd finally found my editing style the last couple of months. That was cool.
Yeah, you definitely have. No, your stuff's really good. You do a good job, both of you.
Yeah, it's
without you two, this wouldn't be possible. I mean,
without you two, this wouldn't be possible.
That's
so
true.
You guys are cute. This is a fucking team effort. Don't even start with this shit. I don't care. I don't think about that shit.
Jake was right when he said we were going to jerk each other off after.
I know what time of year it is.
We're giving thanks.
Giving it too hard, there, buddy. You would be so thankful.
Oh man.
Less grip. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just going back to another game. Fucking Pirate Borg.
Yep.
Oh God.
That was our longest recording we've ever done.
Because
on
God
fucking twofold.
Us.
Firstly, it's our longest episode period.
Yep. Period.
It's over 3 hours long, which is insane to me, especially with all the fucking shit that's in it.
Yeah, I mean, you guys hustled to get that done too.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
I remember.
But man, I was fucking proud of that when it came out. It was very fucking fun.
It was funny too.
Bruce is lost. To the ocean.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that was our second recording. The first recording, the lightning struck and knocked it out. And
yeah.
We lost all of it.
And the
we
last
were like
10
no
minutes.
One knows.
And we were done. We were in the end of it.
Yeah,
too.
And I had such a beautiful character set up, and I'm so distraught.
It was so different.
What,
yeah. Like
what
the
was
island
his
with
name?
The orange
Bruce,
beetles.
Bruce.
I fucking can't even remember his
Green.
Last name.
Oh,
it was Bruce was Green.
Oh, my
I
God.
I named him after
yeah.
fucking Bruce from
Funhouse.
Yeah, you named Bruce Green straight up.
Yeah.
He was a character I never want to meet again.
No, I can't
I
remember
him
at all, but I remember
I literally
loving
hated
him.
It was my favorite thing in the that's why I loved it so much is that you hated him.
Was he the really sleepy guy?
No.
He was drunk all the time?
Let me tell you a story about this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then this one time, like, you know, let me.
I loved him because I was like, all right, you can shut the fuck up now. And then we just go on. Like, it was part of the bit to cut him off while he started telling stories. But yeah.
You guys want more Pirate Borg?
Yeah, probably. Like,
we need more ship battles then. If we're going to do Pirate Borg, we have to do a semi, like, campaign run. It can't just be one shot.
There's so much we have to finish and play still. Like, we want to do a sequel to The Evil Decease. Is that what
it's called? Yeah, okay, yeah. So going forward, Oh, we are going to continue radiation damage.
Yep.
Literally, our next episode next week was Radiation Damage Part 4.
Yep.
Which is yet to be recorded.
Mm-hmm. The return of Martha Braffita.
No, actually, no. Damn. We're going to switch over to the other three.
Something.
And see what those guys got into while the other guys took off. But that's for that episode. We also plan on a Part 2 of The Evil Deceased with Jared Kimbrell.
Yep.
If he wants to come back, which he hope he does.
He said it multiple times.
He's begging. No, he's not.
I just look at my DMs and they're just...
We also want to play a couple other games with a couple other of the creators. I'm not going to, like, state it now because it may not happen, you know. But it sounds like it's going to. So we'll let you know when we know, when we've got the 100% green light on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want to say things and then it not happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we're looking to work with other
people.
We'll
hit you on the pager.
For sure. Yeah. Check out our Twitter, obviously. We're always going to – that's our number one source for news. If you want Roll Center news, what we're doing, Twitter's the place that we post everything.
Yep.
For the most part. What else? I think once we're done with Radiation Damage, or maybe if we don't quite finish it, we'll see what happens with that story. We do want to jump into Cyborg next.
Yes.
Considerably.
Oh, yeah.
For a decent run. Not no 36 episodes of Cold and Deathless kind of run, but...
Yeah, you're right.
Definitely
57.
A couple months.
Definitely a longer one. Yeah, yeah.
So, couple months for sure.
Couple months, yep.
We're going to do another Jimmy Jam, right?
Yep, we're going to do a jam for that.
Fuck yeah.
Keep an eye on our Twitter.
Ooh,
in the next.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? The day that this episode drops, let's announce it that day. So check out our shit.
Perfect. Yep. It'll be the announcement, but it'll be on the socials.
Yep. Check out our stuff.
We're coming back, baby!
Do you want to quote your line there, Jake, that you said when we talked about it when you were planning it?
Which one?
You called it something because of the time of year it was.
Jimmy Jam?
Nope.
Christmas Givens?
Nope.
You're just coming up with random
Think
shit.
Think of
now.
The next month.
Jimmy January's?
January.
January.
Oh, God. Yeah, because
we did the January.
The Rolled Standard January.
Yeah. It's the second annual Rolled Standard January.
That's fucking good.
I guess,
though.
I forgot about that already. It's going to be for our Cyborg campaign, which we're calling Trigger Warning. And it's going to be the Trigger Warning Trigger Happy Jam.
Sweet.
Yeah, so, can't wait to see.
Check the page for the premise. That's not quite locked in, but it's pretty much locked in. But either way.
How we roll?
That's up today.
You know where it's
If hard. It's not up at the moment you're listening to this, then check it later today.
I'm fucking excited. Let's just do it now.
Right? Yeah, I'm excited to do it too. I want to gather the resources from that jam, though, so I can put it into the story.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll play that the earliest February, but I want to start it at the beginning of April.
Yeah.
Because... I have a special plan for March. We talked about this. Marchborg. Remember Marchborg?
Oh, fucking
You guys want to do Marchborg still?
Let's see what other people have to say about it, too. We're talking about it here. I'm down with it for sure.
Okay, so Marchborg essentially is just us playing Merkborg for every week in March. That's it.
Every March going in
forward?
The future?
Yeah, sure. Make it a regular thing where we just play. Because I want to come back to Merkborg regularly.
It would be fun to do Merkborg and then jump into Cyborg.
Yeah. So I'm thinking... Yeah. We just keep going through this.
We can check in on fucking Deuce Bigley.
For sure.
Running the show.
We'll figure out what story
we can definitely
tell
stories.
Yeah.
And
Levi will DM it.
We could.
No.
It'll be ridiculously interesting to see, like, because there are a lot of aspects of the game that we haven't touched at all, mm-hmm. like the Basilisk stuff.
We can tell the whole new story in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in the Merkborg dying world that we've created in a way,
yeah.
With the stuff that we've added to it.
And then maybe in Marchborg, we should do... No, the deathless.
Deathless. Yeah,
no deathless. Yeah.
I agree.
We'll keep it true.
There will be
the
no
game.
More deathless.
Yeah,
than you that.
There are so many classes that exist out there now too. Yep. That like I
create
would
new
be,
tables
I,
for that.
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to just dive into like I we've created a couple more classes too. So maybe we'll see some of those. But there are tons of other ones, and I love showcasing people's fucking classes.
We'll
They're so cool.
We'll keep Marchborg.
Marchborg.
Home
okay,
for...
so Marchborg for Morg. Marchborg
for Morg.
Oh my God, I can't say it. Marchborg for March.
I'm sorry.
So Merkborg. So every week that week, we'll probably have an episode of Merkborg. That's four only, but that's, you know, something. Maybe there's more Fridays. I don't know. Could be. I think some have five. They do. Those things.
Yeah, sometimes they fall.
Sometimes they do. Yeah. So we'll see. Up until then, I guess we'll just keep plugging away with Radiation Damage. If we don't finish it by March, it'll come back after Cyborg is done. I mean, these things don't have to just end. You know what I mean? They can come back later.
Yeah.
It's fine. Some of them we like to just dig in and just finish it, but sometimes we interrupt them, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think Starfinder last year. You know, we did that then. We inserted a bunch of stuff into that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're doing it now with Radiation Damage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. Also, those guest appearances, we kind of want to get them done in the first 2 months. So maybe we'll do that.
Yep.
But yeah, I guess that's the tentative first 4 months of the year, kind of not locked in, but kind of locked in.
Yeah. So just remember our last year's year in review and what we said then and how badly that went, and just assume that with us now.
Yeah, so while we have these plans, they are tentative.
Yes.
But they're not concrete.
But
this
I mean,
what we'd like to be doing if things went perfectly.
We are just fluid.
We are very
flowing
fluid.
Through this podcast first.
Yeah, like 80-something percent of
it's
it or
somewhat
something.
Somewhat ADHD.
Yeah.
It's somebody like, ooh, look at this game. Hold on. Remember all that stuff we talked about? We're not doing that.
Yes.
Like,
we have no overhead. We are the overhead.
Yeah, we have the executive decision.
Yeah.
We make their own choices. Yeah. As far as no one tells us what to play. Nobody tells us what to play.
Or like, hey man, if you need it differently, then I'll to use a different fucking. You got to let us know, and then to use a like Levi line, I yearn to be constrained.
He did say that once.
I have
that.
Yeah, you want us to play something? Hit us up. Oh, also, a friend of ours is sending us a book, a loaner copy of his book.
Ooh.
I'm not going to say what it is. You guys already know what it is.
Yes, yeah. I forgot about that.
We got to hit that up at least a couple episodes.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember, so it'll be a surprise.
It's called Viking Death Squad.
Fuck yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and you got to play it. We got to play it. It's being sent to us by one of our friends.
Can I be a Saiyan?
I don't think so.
God damn it.
I don't want to like say ultimately no, but I don't think so. You already were. Curl.
No, that's, I mean.
John Cena is kind of Saiyan.
Yeah, we'll make our own game. It'll be Saborg, and then it'll be
Saborg.
That would be fucking sweet.
Merc balls.
Merc balls.
Merc ball Z.
Merc ball Z.
Oh no.
Merc ball GT.
Forget all the Belphegor stuff. They're doing this.
No.
No. Belphegor stuff's coming along.
Where John Cena goes into the past and plays as a kid version.
Oh God, that sounds horrible. That stuff I'm just putting.
Can go Super Saiyan 3.
I'm just slowly plugging away at different things for that. Yep.
I actually went through the document recently, and I put up a doctoral document. Yeah, like an actual errata.
Oh, very good.
Yep. Didn't change a thing, I don't think. Nope, nothing. I think I just grammar checked it, and that's it.
I have to put together a new checklist of all the major things that I want to get in there and stuff. I lost it. I don't know what the hell happened to it. So.
Oh, that happened.
I don't know where to... I don't have an abstract spot to start back up again. There's a couple of things, magic systems and loot and
the loot and
equipment and supplies.
I thought about the wealth system.
Wealth system.
I thought about that. We'll talk about it candidly.
Beautiful. Because I'm just getting caught up on little things, mostly just because I'm thinking of everything, you know, at once while I'm thinking about it. So I have to really, like, micromanage what I'm doing, or else it gets overwhelming.
I get that.
But otherwise, I like doing it. I just sit down, I'll play Darkest Dungeon 2, and I'll just be like, oh, God, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This just grimy, horrible world.
Yeah.
I
think Darkest Dungeon and Mirkborg go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
As far as, like, the world, they're very similar.
Makes sense why they both have Wayne June do all that, voiceover stuff, because it fits. But
I wonder how much he'd cost for us.
A lot.
Too much.
so that's our 4 months that we have planned.
Pretty much,
so far.
Yep. And who knows how far Cyborg will take us into the next few months after that. So I think that's as far as we should plan. We do have games we want to play after that.
Of course.
I really want to hit Old School Essentials.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, and the reason being, I know it's pretty much D&D, and it's pretty much your typical fantasy D&D world. It's even old school D&D rules.
Sure.
That was before I ever got into D&D.
Yeah.
I got into it with 3.5. So, like, I never played the Advance or the AD&D or BX or any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really never played any of that. And that's what OSE is. So I feel like, let's hit that up. Let's see what the roots of D&D is.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah.
I think it's a cool idea. Because that gives us a little more of a reputable opinion when it comes to, you know, comparing games to games.
Yeah.
I've come to terms with my opinion never mattering. So
it matters.
No, it's just like when I watch a movie. It was fun.
Yeah, Levi likes every movie.
No, I like most movies.
Name a movie you didn't like.
Hey, man, you know what?
He lives
a more comfortable life than we do.
I don't know. His finger is probably hurting.
Well, physically, sure.
A movie that I didn't like?
Yeah, see, there isn't even one.
Oh.
I don't know.
See, likes every movie.
I'm a very simple man. I'm Simple John.
Hold up.
I am Simple John when it comes to movies. I just watch them.
Yeah, well, think about it. It's like
not a bad thing.
Like
there was this really ridiculous movie that just came out that was like Indian avatars. It was wild. It was so freaking wild. It was good. But it was so good.
Are you talking about like Bollywood? Bollywood, craziness?
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Bollywood is a different level of fucking movie.
See, he does like everything.
It was so bizarre. I'm like,
I love Bollywood stunts.
They're ridiculous.
I've never seen any of them.
If you want a little taste of it, like without having to watch it,
that back of the pickup. Do you remember that one? Oh, and it's God. The truck's all CGI'd in, fucking. It's bouncing. Oh,
if you want a little taste of it, just look up like Corridor Crew like reacting to Bollywood stuff, and you'll get like 15 minutes and understand everything that you need to understand.
That's probably as much as I'm gonna want to see.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, maybe I'll like it.
I mean, it's wild.
I don't have the time for movies.
Though, no, so I don't. I really don't either. When I'm sitting down with that kind of stuff, but like
I'm on a Steven Seagal kick right now.
It was
on a Breath of the Wild.
It was called Brahmastra. You should watch it. It was very interesting.
What in tarnation?
It was so weird.
Brahmastra.
So keep in mind that is a recommendation for a movie from Levi. So
if you want to see some weird shit. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, there you go.
Of course you did. It's a movie that you saw.
I mean, the English dub never matches the subtitles. It's very funny.
Anyway. Oh,
yeah.
I feel as though... Do you have anything else we got to say?
I love you. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Another solid year of fun times and...
Yeah, more to come.
Don't sniff goo. We'll see you next year.
Yeah, all right, let's go with that.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
8 here, back at the end of the episode, to tell you that our Patreon is a little bit different now. We have our $3 Paul tier, which gives you access to our Discord and the peace of mind, or whatever, of knowing that you're helping support us, which is appreciated. We also have a $5 Standard Bearer tier, which gives you the same things, but also bonus episodes that we release, or at least attempt to, every month. $10 D-Pick Agent tier gives you all that same stuff, plus a little bit of perks, I guess. You get a shout-out with your name, which you'll hear.
And self-portrait signed by us.
You're not getting that, but maybe you can. If you want that, we'll try.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, no. It's going to be a skull, guarantee it. Because I'll probably have to make it. Well, Jake could draw it, but then I'll fucking filter the shit out of it. Make it yellow.
You get to make a character.
Yes, you can make an NPC that we will use in the story. Everybody on the Patreon gets bonus, well, some bonus material. You get, like, some insight into what we're doing behind the scenes when we decide that we have created something for you to show you. Other than that, that's pretty much all the Patreon is, I think, at this point. If you have more suggestions on what could be there, let us know, because we'd love to hear that information.
Yeah, we try to do what we can. We appreciate everybody and all of their support as it is. We're just four working class dudes trying to make a show for your guys' entertainment. So we appreciate every penny that you give us. Just in excess to the cool, in excess to the cool things that you guys say about us all the time. I personally appreciate it every bit of it, guys.
Tearing up.
On top of that, though, thank you for that intro, Nate.
Oh, you're welcome, Christopher.
We're going to do a little bit of shout out finally for the few $10 tier people that we have right now.
Yeah. Who are they, Levi? I mean, Jake, whoever you are at the moment.
Thanks to Kevin Welch, Harbles Barkley, and Jack Benalkin.
And of course, we can't forget Alaskos.
And our good buddy Baz.
We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah. Don't forget to like us and follow us on, or rate us and follow us on Spotify. If you want to write a review of us on Apple Music, that'd be appreciated.
Apple Podcasts?
Apple Podcasts, yeah. I don't know. I don't use
Apple. Never know anymore.
I don't use it.
You know, rate and review us wherever you can find
us. Anywhere.
That's the ultimate message.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. It helps us out a ton. We'd always appreciate it. We have a bunch of them already, and they've been silently put in there by a bunch of people, and I love seeing it, so...
And go check out these juicy bloops and don't sniff glue.
Yeah, don't sniff glue.
I love
and Beyblades.
Beyblades were the shit.
Beyblades were not.
They used to be way better.
They are
so
tops.
Cool. I never got into it.
They are tops. It is.
Yes, you're right.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's like, and then they're like, they have names that have nothing to do with how they look.
I just love the idea that, like, they somehow made an anime around literally, like, the game of pulling a ripcord.
Yeah. Beyblade, I choose you.
It's just funny to me because, like, when they get into it, they
spend
a good...
Let her rip!
Yeah, and then they spend 20 seconds spinning around here, and then when they hit like they're sentient. It's fucking hilarious. It's like... And then just...
Well, yeah, and then right above them, there's like a dragon and
a wolf.
Oh
my god, you're right!
There's like a dragon and a wolf battling.
Yeah. That's because they are
holograms.
Spirit of the Beyblade.
Holograms of them.
That was fucking cool.
Bro!
It was sick. It was sweet.
Levi's innocence is just so beautiful.
Like Blue, Dragon.
Kid.
You remember that one? Blue Dragon?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, there was like a fucking weird ghost blue ox. It was fucking strange. What a strange show. I enjoyed it.